Come and worship. Be still and aware of God's presence within and around you. Be still and know the presence of the true God, the Father to whom we come, the Son through whom we come, the Spirit by whom we come. Hear God's word. Be still and know that I am God.
What a beautiful way to start worship. Thank you all. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Pastor Claire Douglas, and I'm so excited to be here with all of you this morning. I'm trying to think. I know I have one announcement. The outreach meeting that is in the bulletin as being on Tuesday, we had to move because I'm going on the youth mission trip, and so we already had it this past week. So don't come to outreach again on Tuesday. That would be a lot of outreaching in a short period of time. And I think those are all of the announcements that I know about. Stephen Ministry announcement, which I was supposed to remember and did not write down. Go ahead, Holly.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just want to update everybody briefly on Stephen Ministry and where we're at with the congregation. We will soon begin training our first group of Stephen ministers in just a few weeks. If you've already committed, you'll be getting an email from John and I this week regarding the details about the training and the next steps. If you're still thinking about it and prayerfully considering it, I'm just going to leave you with a few things about that. When I was going through it myself, debating if I wanted to or was capable of being a Stephen minister, the three biggest concerns are, can I do it? And the answer is yes. With the materials, the training, and the tools from the Stephen Ministry organization in St. Louis, it's basically a commitment of your time. And we are asking for a 2-year commitment, The first 4.5 months would be the initial training. Then you'd be meeting with your care receiver on a regular basis. But then there will be a support group to support you beyond that. We'd meet once a month to talk about your experiences, any questions or concerns that you have. The next biggest, another concern that people had when contemplating it is, ooh, I need to pray out loud with somebody. That was definitely outside my comfort zone. But again, through the training, we go over when it's appropriate and help you practice that to make you comfortable with that experience as well. And the last one is, can I really make a difference? Sometimes you feel when you are a Stephen minister that you take 2 steps forward with your care receiver and then maybe 3 steps back. But it's really important to know that you are a caregiver, that you are there to walk with them on their journey and to listen. Those are the 2 biggest gifts you can give that person, and remembering that God is the caregiver. So with that, if you are still interested, it's definitely not too late. You can contact either John Budd or myself, and if you are interested, we'd ask that you just let us know sometime this week yet. So with that, I'm going to leave you with this. Thank you.
It's been almost exactly 10 years since my wife hurt herself on the job the first time, which led to a whole bunch of things. Kay's situation has gone from oops to uh-oh to oh my God to holy. And it's still there. I mean, she still can't walk from the original surgery. She's wheelchair bound, doesn't get out very much, is on dialysis now because her kidneys failed. And I've been the guy who's been there all that time. And I was just putting so much pressure on myself. And so finally one of the guys, a good buddy, called me at home and he said, we are going to get you a Stephen minister. He knew all that story. And he said, we're going to get you a Stephen minister. And I said, well, it's time. It's time. My Stephen minister is just a little bit older than I. And sometimes when we're together, I have to say even to him, you know, we're just like 2 old farts sitting around drinking coffee on a Wednesday morning. It's just so easy to be with him. He's just so tuned in to what I'm doing that he knows the right questions. He never suggests anything. He's not there to tell me what to do. He's there to get me to talk to myself until I discover what is necessary. And I can tell him anything. He listens to anything. He listens to the good stuff. He listens to the bad stuff. And he's also very happy about the successes that I've had along the way. I can't wait to tell him about some things. So it's been a lot of pressure. But my Stephen minister has just walked me through it, talked me through it, questioned me through it. And I'm surviving very nicely. I'm grateful to Trinity for caring enough, the people there for caring enough to literally put a Stephen minister in my back pocket, because I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for that. So I give thanks every day. In fact, my connection with the church now is I don't go to worship to take, I go to give. I have gotten so much from the church, so much through my Stephen minister, that I go to give it all back, or give us back as much of it as I possibly can every Sunday morning. This relationship with the Stephen minister is about you and God and getting you through the next period. I'm very proud to say I have a Stephen minister. If you're under anything like the pressure that I was under then, wouldn't you like to be where I am now? You can get there if you take on a Stephen minister. But you can't have the one that I have.
Mind standing for our first hymnal in the red hymnals in 389, Freely, Freely. Remain standing, please, and join me in our praise. Here, are you this how are you this morning?
It would be easy for us to say, fine, thank you. But the truth is that there are lots of things going on in our lives. Lots of time crunches and pressures.
You have come to the right place. Rest for a minute, take a breath, and let it out slowly. Just relax and let your heart be open to God's words for you.
That sounds good to us.
Feel the healing, soothing power of God's love for you.
Lord, we rest our minds, spirits, and hearts in your compassionate love.
Remain standing for our second hymnal, Spirit of the Living God, and the red hymnal is in 393. Please join me in our opening prayer. Awesome God, we sometimes forget to take time out in our busy days to listen to those around us, to listen to you. Help us to find you in all the faces we seek this week, that we may grow closer to you day by day. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Do you folks ever get hungry during church? Yeah? I do too, and I'm really hungry this morning, and I don't think I can make it through the sermon. So I went to McDonald's, and I got myself some breakfast, and if you don't mind, I'm just going to eat it right now. So I brought my fork and my knife and some napkins, very important when you're eating in church. And a hash brown, and a ketchup packet, and some salt for my Egg McMuffin, and of course, my Dr. Pepper. But I think I forgot something. I think I forgot to get an Egg McMuffin. That's kind of the important part of breakfast, isn't it? A hash brown probably won't quite do. Can I can't believe I forgot the Egg McMuffin. That's the pinnacle part of breakfast. Can you imagine that? I got so interested in thinking through my sermon and everything that was going on this week, and, you know, I was thinking of what I was going to pack on the youth mission trip, and I forgot to get my Egg McMuffin. I always say if my head weren't attached, I'd lose it. You probably think I'm pretty foolish to have forgotten my Egg McMuffin, right? Would you forget an Egg McMuffin? No, right? Yeah, you'd get it. I bet you nobody else has ever been that foolish. But the Bible story for today tells us that Jesus and his disciples were traveling, and they came to a town where someone named Martha lived with her sister Mary. And the sisters welcomed Jesus into their home. And Martha immediately began to work very hard getting supper ready for Jesus. And while Martha was busying herself preparing the meal, Mary just sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset that her sister was not helping, so she went to Jesus and said, "Do you see that my sister's not helping me? Tell her to help me. Have your siblings ever not helped you with something, like chores? Do you think you'd go to Jesus and say, why am I doing all the work here?" Yeah. No? You just do the work? Wow, you're a really generous sibling. My brother would have been like, "Claire's over there. Don't you see her?" But Jesus answers, "Martha, Martha, are you worried and troubled? You are worried and troubled by too many things. Only a few things are important, perhaps just one. And Mary has chosen the important thing, and I will not take it away from her." Many of us make the same mistake that Martha made. We get so busy going to work, going to school, playing, watching television, doing our chores, that we forget the most important thing. We forget to spend time with Jesus, like Mary did. We must be very careful that we don't get so busy doing good things that we leave out the best thing, which is spending time with Jesus. Does that make sense? Oh, we gotta not get so distracted that we forget our Egg McMuffin. Will you pray with me? Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, help us to remember that you are the most important thing in our lives. Don't let us get so busy with other things that we forget to spend time with you. In your name we pray. Amen. And if I were a really good pastor, I would have brought you all a hash brown, but alas, this is the only one, so.
Our first reading is Psalms 34, 11 through 22. "Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you fear of the Lord. What you desire life and covet many days to enjoy good. Keep your tongues from evil and keep your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and the ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Then the righteous cry for help and the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from them all. He keeps all their bones, not one of them will be broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." Thank you.
On the same wavelength this week. I have not been trained as a Stephen minister, but I did take clinical pastoral education, which is a requirement for most pastors, every pastor in our conference of the United Methodist Church. I just spent an entire summer working in a hospital setting. I worked primarily for an eating disorder unit on the East Coast. And during that period of time, we underwent a lot of training about how to talk to people in pastoral care. It's not mentioned in my sermon today, but I'm talking about it because it helped me. Well, it's mentioned in a little bit. but it helped me reframe how I thought about people around me substantially. And I think that Stephen's ministry does that, too. So it's for the people that you help, but it's also for you, too, to see the world in a completely different way. And so that is one of the reasons why I would encourage you to do Stephen's ministry. Certainly CPE helped me reframe how I viewed the world around me. Will you pray with me? Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us never forget that we will find you in the most unexpected places. Help us to listen for your voice calling to us wherever we may be, that we may grow closer and closer to you day by day. Amen. Our scripture reading for today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. The Lord add the Lord's reading, or the Lord's blessing to this reading of God's word. I will never forget the excitement and trepidation I felt climbing onto the train to Whitefish, Montana for my very first mission trip. I am the oldest daughter of a United Methodist pastor and a youth minister, which meant for much of my childhood, my middle brother Drew and I equated mission trips with that week we got left behind while our parents were off doing cool things with all the youth we looked up to and admired. I had grown up watching our babysitters and people that to this day I think are some of the coolest people in the universe travel together every year on this grand adventure to help others. I had grown up watching countless youth mission trip worship services where I had heard stories of the older youth getting to know the residents they were helping and the strong bonds they had formed with them. Before I was even 10 years old, I knew all the mission trip songs by heart. I promise you, there was never anyone who looked forward to going on their first mission trip more than I did, because going on a mission trip in my life was the epitome of cool and fun. When we arrived in Whitefish, we were split up into different work crews, and each of us was assigned a repair project to be completed during the week. Since I was 14 and had no useful work skills, I was assigned to a crew who was painting the exterior of an older woman's house. I remember having an image in my head before I met my resident of a wonderful woman who looked like a cross between Mother Goose and Mrs. Claus, who would always bring us cookies and tell us how great we were and want to spend hours basking with us in the glory of how wonderful this mission trip was. Well, I don't actually remember what my resident looked like, but we did not have the warm, fuzzy relationship that I had always pictured. My resident didn't interact with us much, and when she did, it was to complain about the mistakes we had made while painting her house and to tell us that we weren't doing things right. I can remember being devastated and thinking, why doesn't she appreciate us? I wish I could go back in time and pull my 14-year-old self aside and tell myself a phrase that another mentor taught me in CPE nearly 14 years later. There's a story there. And looking back, I'm sure there was a story there. In fact, I can think of several possible stories. But I'll never get to know that story because I wasn't looking for it, and so I missed it. A couple weeks ago, while I was sitting in an ecumenical clergy Bible study, a wonderful colleague of mine talked about a trip that he had just been on. He and a couple others traveled to a Native American reservation for what he called an immersion trip. He said he stopped calling it a mission trip because a mission trip gave people the wrong idea, which really made me think, is mission trip the wrong word for us to use for this kind of experience? Well, the word mission comes from the Latin word missio, which means to be sent. In theology or the study of God, we use the word mission for a number of things. Even God has a mission, the missio Dei, and God's mission is to spread love and relationship to all the world. The church and every Christian shares this mission, to spread God's love with all those we meet. So if mission simply means to be sent to spread God's love to the world, then perhaps the word mission isn't the problem. Perhaps it's our understanding of the word mission. I'm sure if Martha were living today, she would have described herself as being on a mission that busy afternoon. Jesus, traveling with all of his disciples, entered her village, and Martha quickly welcomed them into her home. Mary, Martha's sister, sat at Jesus' feet as he taught and hung on every word Jesus was saying, while Martha was the consummate good host, running around trying to prepare everything perfectly for her guests. We can just imagine Martha getting increasingly frustrated with her sister for failing to help out until finally Martha breaks down, turns to Jesus and says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But Jesus answers, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. Only one thing is important. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." It would be easy for us to turn this story of two sisters into one of rivalry, where there's a clear winner and a clear loser. But like many stories, I think there is more to the truth than that. Martha was clearly performing an important function when Jesus and her disciples came to see her. She was clearly providing them with hospitality, food, and a place to stay. Interestingly, the gospel writer tells us that this was her house, that she owned it in a time when most homeowners would have been male. Luke tells us that Martha was distracted by her many tasks, maybe even frantic in her effort to get what she felt was important done. In the process of trying to complete all of her necessary chores, she missed an important opportunity to be present in the moment and to learn from the mouth of Jesus himself. It isn't the service that she provides that is in and of itself a problem. It's the fact that she's so focused on this service that she loses sight of everything else in the process that is the problem. Folks, I believe the truth is that we need to be both Martha and Mary. That we need to have hands to serve and get important tasks done. And we need to have ears to listen to those around us and to discover the voice of God talking to us in the most unexpected places. It can be so tempting in life to use service to try and fix the physical problems around us that we can see and touch. It can be so tempting in life to assume that if we can complete just one more chore or one more activity, that we can change the world, that we can fix all the hurt and pain we see around us. But the truth is that there are problems that cannot be fixed with our hands and our service. And if we do not take the time to listen like Mary, we may never discover what the real deep problems are. We may never learn that there truly is a story there. If I could go back in time and talk to my 14-year-old self, what I wish I could have told her was, yes, you came here to be Martha and to paint a house, but more importantly, you came here to be Mary and to listen. The important part of that week wasn't the house. It was the person who lived in the house. And by being so focused on the task at hand, you missed a wonderful opportunity to learn and grow from someone else's story. You missed an opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet and listen. In some ways, we are all being sent on a mission every day. We do not need to be sent to some far-off city or country in order to spread God's love. We are called to do so in a million little ways at every chance we get. I always say one of the things I love best about my husband is how naturally kind he is. Someone will cut us off on the highway driving fast, and he'll turn to me and say, "They must have had somewhere really important to go." This kind of kindness does not come to me naturally. But the truth is that everyone has a story there. And the Bible tells us over and over again that our Lord Jesus Christ can be found in the most unexpected places. The face of the homeless person we meet on the street, the laughter of a small child, the song of the birds in the trees. You never know what story was meant to change your own. So I have a challenge for you this week, wherever you are being sent. As you go on a mission to spread God's love to all you meet, I challenge you to serve with the hands of Martha, to listen with the ears of Mary, and to be able to see through the distractions to the stories beneath. It is in these places that you will find truth, and you may discover a little piece of God there. Amen and amen. Will you please stand and join me in singing hymn number 2128, "Come and Find the Quiet Center," out of "The Faith We Sing."
Find the room for hope to enter, find the freedom.
I'd like to invite us to share our tithes and our offerings. Freely we have received from God, let us freely give. And this month, I'm double-checking myself. I'm really double-checking myself here. Well, we'll just offering and I'll find things in the future.
Please join me in a prayer of thanksgiving. God of all the yesterdays and all of our tomorrows, you watch us scramble around in our business and see how we miss the miracles that you have scattered all around us. As we offer our gifts this morning, may we do so with generous hearts from the deep trust and confidence that your abundance is sufficient for all you have put before us. We pray this in the name of Christ, our rock and redeemer. Amen.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite you to share any prayers that you may have this morning. And with your indulgence, I'd like to lead off. One of my aunts unfortunately has stage 4 cancer, and she received surgery this week to deaden some nerves around her liver because she's in a lot of pain right now. She did recover successfully from surgery, but unfortunately the surgery was unsuccessful, so she will have to live with that pain for the rest of her life. So just if you'd give prayers for my wonderful Aunt Peg, who was in that church that raised me, I would really, really appreciate it this week.
I just want to thank everybody for the prayers for Joyce Gasser. She did go home this week, and we're seeing how things are going at that point, but she was in this terrible accident out there 12 p.m. earlier this year. So thank you, and please continue the prayers.
A thanksgiving for prayers for Joyce Gasser, who was in an accident earlier this year, but is going home this week, which is really exciting to hear. We pray that she would continue to heal well and that she would be excited to be home. I'm sure.
I am 80 years old. When I was 9 months old, I was adopted and raised by a farm family out towards Platteville. So I was 9 months old when I was adopted. Everything was fine. But after my adopted parents passed away, I began to wonder, what does my real mother look like? I just wanted to see a picture. So thanks to an adoption agency, my wonderful granddaughter, Ancestry.com, and the Lord's help, I'm sure. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, I will meet my biological brother, Jeffrey, coming up from Georgia.
What an incredible joy to get to meet more family. We pray that that meeting will go really, really well. I heard you get to maybe meet some cousins, too, right? Yep. Some cousins tomorrow, too. And we pray that you just have a wonderful time with your family and that you all get along very well. Are there any other prayers this morning?
Let's give Dave Regala our prayers.
Yes. Prayers for Dave Regala, who fell this week. We pray that he would heal quickly.
United Methodist Children's Services Work Camp.
Yes. A group of us, some people have already left, but I've heard.
They'll have all the work done by the time we get there.
They'll have all the work done by the time we get there, right. That's the way to do a mission trip. But a group of us are leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow, which is my favorite time of the day, in order to go over to United Methodist Children's Services. And we pray that we will have a wonderful work week where we will get to be both Mary and Martha to all of the people who we meet. Are there any other prayers? Would you take a moment to silently pray? Our Lord Jesus Christ, you are a God who became human so that you could walk alongside us. Lord, we know of all people that you understand the experience of what life is like, that you experienced all of life's joys and all of life's tragedies. We know as a God who can truly understand us and walks alongside us and holds our hand at every moment that you want to be with us in all of the blessings that we will have this week. And that you also want to comfort us in all of the moments of challenge and strife. Walk alongside us this week, we pray. We pray particularly for all of those with health concerns. We pray that you would strengthen them day by day, that they may return home to their families. We pray for all of those who are facing cancer, an illness that steals moments of happiness and joy away from people. We pray that you would hold all of those who are experiencing cancer, particularly in your hands this week, that they may know your peace and strength. Lord, we pray for those in long-term care facilities or who are home confined. Lord, just because people are not present here in the room with us does not mean that they are not present in our hearts. We pray that they would feel the joy and the strength of this community reaching out to them wherever they are located. Lord, we pray particularly for your presence and your blessings. We pray for meeting new families. We pray for successful healing. We pray for all of those who need your touch. We pray all this as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us go forth from this place, ready to serve with the hands of Martha, to listen with the ears of Mary, and to find God in the faces of everyone we meet. Amen.